about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Fenella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps, and Warren Mitchell bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world. Our story opens in the offices of Apsley Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe, and Gideon Partners. Although it's only 11:15 a.m., the place has been seething with activity for over 3 minutes. And of all the employees, Michael Lightfoot is seething more than anyone else.
I'm sorry, Michael. Please don't ask again. The answer's no.
Robert Janet, we haven't had a date in the last 3 weeks. And you haven't let me kiss you for a fortnight. I mean, it's worse than being married. Oh, no, come on. Please, Janet. Put down that sewing and listen. What are you doing there? A bit of tapestry?
No, I'm darning a pair of socks. They're in a dreadful state. They look like a pair of check mittens.
Whose socks are they?
Well, they're not mine. I haven't worn socks since I tried to join the Sea Scouts. They belong to a friend.
Can't be one of your beatnik friends. None of them wear socks.
Now, Michael, it's time you went to your conference. I want to switch on the radio.
Janet, take that portable out of the intro.
Another installment will be broadcast tomorrow at the same time.
Oh,
Janet, you haven't got a date with Mrs. Dale, and I mean, those aren't her socks.
Shh. And what did this?
This episode was a recording, and now, before the next program, which is a program of records, here's a record. It's part of a recording of a recorded program, which was broadcast in our Icelandic service in 1926. It is a record of the Luton Girls Choir singing Trees.
Oh, Michael, isn't it bad?
Yes, I shall always think of it as our song.
Oh, now I must away to the conference. And if that's how the Luton Girls Choir sounded in 1926, no wonder there was a general strike.
At the bulk are our ships, jolly tars are our men. Ready, boy? Oh, it's crazy. I wonder if it'll make the top 10.
Is this the Pitso Dog Food Conference?
Come in, Mavis.
I'm sorry I'm early, Miss Tufnell. I came up from the Titan Pool to take notes, you see. And I thought the conference started at 11, otherwise I'd have been here later.
It's all right, Mavis. You've never been early before, and I'm sure you never will again, so we'll overlook it this time.
Oh, it won't happen again, I assure you. I never make the same mistake once.
Oh, that girl.
Which girl?
Janet. She suddenly started behaving like a half-wit. She's gone berserk, drooling over the radio. Well, I mean to say, hearts of oak.
Perhaps she's thinking of joining the Navy.
She's too tall. What I can't understand is why she won't come out with me these days.
Oh, Miss Lightfoot, don't you know? I thought everyone knew about her and this bloke.
What bloke? Has Janet got a new boyfriend?
Well, he's not exactly new. He's about 35.
That's the dangerous age. Who is he? And where did she meet him?
In the coachman's arms. Oh, it was ever so romantic. He spilt a glass of shandy on her accordion pleat.
Why was she playing an accordion in the coachman's arms?
No, her skirt. And they sort of fell into a conversation. You know, the way you do when you're with someone and you both start talking together.
I always find it easier if you take turns.
Well, who is this chap? What does he do?
He announced this thing.
Where, at Paddington Station?
No, on the BBC.
Oh, that's even worse. Janet, my Janet, falling for a BBC announcer.
Brian Sackville's name is. He reads the weather and the interval music. And he's got a record program, too. It's called The Best 20 in the Top 10. He plays both sides.
I'm terribly sorry I'm late, but I had to go and move my car. It was on a parking meter.
Time up already?
No, you don't understand. The car was on a parking meter. I backed into it.
Look, please, can we get on with the Petso dog campaign? Any ideas, Michael?
Oh, dog food. I can't bear the thought of dog food when Janet's done this to me.
Has she put you off your meals?
No, poor soul. He's just heard about Janet being dated by this bloke she's walking out with. He didn't know they were both seeing one another, not together.
Oh. Well, I thought you knew, Michael.
Now, come on, boys. How are we going to launch this new product? Petco dog food's an important client, so let's think of something very scintillating.
What is their new product? I've forgotten.
Really, it's dog soup.
Oh, how cruel. Oh, the poor little mice.
Mavis, it's not made of dogs. It's made for dogs.
Well, they make soup of Oxy's tails, don't they? I mean, I know they put a bit of bone in it so you'll think it doesn't come from an animal, but they can't fool me.
Mavis, oxen have bones in their tails. Otherwise, they couldn't wave them about.
I wasn't born yesterday. I've seen their tails. They're at the end and they're made of hair.
You're thinking of hair soup, which is quite a different kettle of fish.
Well, fancy making hair soup with fish in a kettle. You'd get a spout full of bones.
For goodness sake, dog soup. Now, how are we going to promote it?
It's the most idiotic product. I mean, you can't feed a dog on soup. It's terribly bad for its teeth.
Oh, is soup bad for the teeth? Oh, I must tell my gran, it only arrived last week.
No, Michael means that dogs need something to chew. You can't chew a bowl of soup.
Well, I suppose they could always eat the tin afterwards.
Can't we please get back to the product?
No, it's no good, Maggie. I'm not in a creative mood. To think that after all this time that Janet should suddenly take up with a newsreader, a disc jockey. Well, what's he got that I haven't got?
Dandy legs, probably.
And to think she didn't even tell me. I mean,
why should she? They're his legs.
Well, it's no good moaning and groaning, old boy. You must take steps.
I intend to. Straight over the road and into the pub. Come on, everyone. Drinks are on me.
Well, as we're obviously not going to get any work done.
Are you coming, Mavis?
No, thanks, Pa, Mr. Lightfoot. All this talk of Brian's Catfields reminds me. On behalf of the girls in the typing pool, I'm going to send off a request for Adam Faith.
Singing what?
Oh, not singing anything. We just want Adam Faith.
That's better. Nothing like a few pints of wallop to restore one's amour prop.
I think yours must be coming up for the third time.
Oh, I say. There's Janet and her BBC friend. Down at the far end of the bar.
Well, you mean that Tweedy bloke? The one knocking his pipe out on his elastic-sided boot?
Hmm. That's him, Brian Sackville in person.
He's no Gregory Peck, is he?
Oh, I don't know. If Gregory Peck was shorter with a ginger moustache and wore elastic-sided boots, he wouldn't be able to tell him apart.
Janet's looking very dewy-eyed. I wonder what they're talking about.
Valves and tweeters, I expect. Now, come on, Michael. Try and look as if you don't care. I'll order another round.
Well, that'll help. I'll have a half a sip of the scotch. Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you said to Billy Cotton.
Well, I was in the canteen at BH, wasn't it?
BH? You mean British Honduras?
No. Broadcasting House. Called BH by people in the know.
Oh, absolutely fab.
And I've been giving a few hints, you see, to Eamon Andrews.
Do you mean you actually know Eamon Andrews?
Well, certainly. Actually, it was I who persuaded him to stop playing a shillelagh and join the BBC.
You were so wrong.
Well, anyway, I've just been telling him about a chum of mine who ended up in emergency ward 10.
Oh, the poor darling. Hope it was nothing serious.
Well, it's the sort of thing one doesn't talk about, actually. That he went over to the other channel. Commercial. He'd left the old firm. Well, we never talk about people who are on the other side.
Must be ghastly for them. Well, it's the shareholders I feel sorry for. Well, that's crazy, Jupiter.
Well, anyway, I was just dashing off to rehearse workers' playtime.
Oh, did they rehearse?
Well, only the audience. And there, in the corridor, was Billy Cotton. Yes. He'd been fetching tea for his band.
It all sounds dreamy, meeting all these smart people. It's like a page of the Radio Times suddenly brought to life. How can it be?
Of course. I do wish those people out there wouldn't stare. I mean, I know I'm a celebrity, but dash it all.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just Michael who comes from the office.
Yeah, which is Michael? He's the one in the grey flannel suit with a hateful expression.
Now, that's Maggie. Oh, they're looking it up. But pretend we haven't.
All you have to do is to make her jealous. Then she'll come out with you.
No, I doubt it. I've asked her three times already this week. Each time she makes some ridiculous excuse.
On Monday, she said she was washing her hair. On Tuesday, she was having a bubble bath. And on Wednesday, she said she wanted to wash her small.
Well, never mind. When she does come out with you, at least she'll be nice and clean. Now, Michael, don't worry. I've got it all worked out.
Adrian, before we start the phone calls, are you quite sure that Janet's in the office with Michael?
Yes, I sent Mavis along to check.
Oh, they're both in there, all right. I peeked through the door.
And they still haven't resumed their former relationship?
Well, I shouldn't think so. The bolt's off the door and the chewing gum has been removed from the keyhole.
Good Lord, things really are bad. Well, now, stand by, chaps, and we'll put the plan into operation. Michael's expecting the first call at 2:30. That's 20 seconds from now. It's an eyes on one.
Janet, did you have a nice lunch?
Really? We met for a drink, and then Brian took me to the BBC canteen. We shared a table with David Jacobs. And we had curried baked beans and a Welsh rarebit.
How terribly mundane. Couldn't he take you to a restaurant?
No, he was standing by for gale warning.
It's all right. It's for me. I'm expecting a call. Oh, hello, Cynthia, darling. Yes, I've been waiting for your call. Yes, you're right on time. Yeah, no, you never kept me waiting. No, you never do, darling, my little poppy. No, not for anything.
I tell you, boy, there's no need to overdo it.
Cynthia, you little monkey. I wish I could crawl down the phone and give you a little kiss.
No, not now. Cynthia's smoking his pipe.
Why do you ask? Of course I love you. Yes. Oh, I know there have been other women. But you're different.
Is Janet listening?
Yes, honey, lad.
I bet her ears are sticking out like organ stops.
Oh, Cynthia, darling. Naturally, I want to see you again. Oh, it's been so long. Let me think. When did we last meet? Was it dinner at the Mirabelle in Paris or breakfast on the Via Veneta in Rome?
No, it was lunchtime. We had half a bitter and a Scotch egg in the pub round the corner. Now, listen, old boy. I'm ringing off now and I'll put Maggie on in a minute. Bye.
Bye-bye, sweetie. See you tomorrow night. Sorry about that, Janet.
About what?
That's a rather personal phone call.
I didn't hear a thing. I was so busy arranging these roses. Aren't they gorgeous? Brian sends me a dozen every day.
He probably gets them cheap from the Archers.
Michael likes this office.
Oh, hello. Is that you, Michael, my darling?
No, you must have a very bad life. A minute. It's some woman for you.
Oh, another one? I'll fancy that. Who is it?
Well, she didn't say, but it sounds like an Edith Eckberg with a chest cold.
Well, that figure. Hello? Hildegard! Oh, what a pleasant surprise. Darling, how are you?
Feeling a lot better since I took off that accent. Okay, lover boy, go into your act.
Hildegard, you silly girl. Fancy flying all the way from Switzerland just to see me. Oh, excuse me, Janet. It's a girl I met on holiday. Darling, of course, I haven't forgotten you. Oh, we had so much fun that night by the lake when we went skating on thin ice. And, darling, do you remember that afternoon when the milkmaid started yodeling and I took you in my arms?
Yes, and we danced till the cows came home. Now, Michael, I must get back to work. It's an advertising firm, not a Lonely Hearts Club. Oh, Mavis will be on next, so stand by the phone.
No, not tomorrow night. The night after tomorrow. See you soon. Bye. Crazy kid. Sorry about all these phone calls, Janet, but now that I'm free again, you know, the news gets around. They probably put up a bulletin at NATO.
Sorry, Michael, I didn't hear a thing.
Janet, take those things out of your ears.
All right. I was tuned into my transistor. Brian was reading the news then. Sure, it was fabulous. He put such feeling into it. You know, when he said the United States gold reserve was down to $100 billion, you really cared. I wanted to do something to help.
Like what? Put a slot meter on the Statue of Liberty? Hello? Oh, my darling, darling, darling.
Oh, hello, this is Mavis, Mavis, Mavis. Mr. Beals said just to ring up and say the first thing that came to my head.
And what have you got to say to your little Michael?
Well, hello, this is Mavis.
Dear Deirdre, you lucky girl, you. So Daddy's bought you a new yacht.
Oh, no, Mr. Lightfoot, we've got nothing like that. Though Gran has treated herself to a new rubber duck for the bath.
Yes, I'd love to come down and help. When does she go into the water?
Every Saturday night.
I do hope the tide's high enough.
Well, if not, she has a good scrub down in the sink.
Yes, I'd love to come. Bye-bye, Deirdre. Oh, do give my kind regards to her ladyship. Oh, I am sorry about all these interruptions, Janet.
Michael, I'm delighted. Brian and I wouldn't want our happiness based on your loneliness. It would be unbearable.
Hello?
Hello, this is Adrian.
Cynthia, darling, not again.
Now, listen, old boy. Has Janet shown any signs of jealousy yet?
No, darling, absolutely not.
Well, perhaps we'd better step up for treatment.
You little poppet, I wish you would, yes. Let's do that. Hello, Sylvia. Oh, yes, darling. The weekend at your seaside place? Barbecue and swimming? Oh, it sounds fun. I'll just look through my diary. Let's see. No, July is out. August is booked. September, no vacancies. Yeah. Oh, moonlight bathing does sound tempting. How about Christmas Eve? No, darling, I'm absolutely full up. Well, when can I come round to your flat? Well, I may be able to whip round in the car next January the 8th. Yes, I can pop in for a few minutes, but I'll have to leave the engine running.
Mr. Lightfoot, a heart-stricken young lady left this box of chocolates for you.
Oh, they look gorgeous. Would you like one, Janet?
I don't see why I shouldn't share the spoils. Which are the hard ones?
Those on the top row with the tooth marks.
Well, let's face it, things look a bit tricky, old boy.
You're right, Cynthia. I mean, Adrian. Yeah, I've been bombarded with phone calls and presents all the afternoon. It's done no good at all. Janet doesn't even want to know who they're from.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. If this had happened before she met Brian Sackville, she'd have challenged them all to duels by now.
Adrian, you've given me an idea. I shall ask someone to dinner. A cozy dinner for two, which I shall cook myself. That'll upset Janet.
Why, is she going to eat it?
Of course not. I shall invite Maggie. That'll make Janet furious. You know how those two are always sniping at one another.
Now, be careful, old boy, and don't overdo the soft lights and sweet music. When you're on a sofa, actions speak louder than words.
I can handle it. I shall tell Maggie it's a business dinner, and I've got to find a way of presenting the new Petso dog soup.
Well, I shall just serve it in bowls marked his and hers.
Morning, Janet.
Oh, excuse me.
Michael, you look as if you were up all night.
Yes, I was nearly. Had a friend round to dinner, and the main dish was me.
Well, I'm very happy to think you're back in circulation.
Yeah, I'm back in circulation, all right. I spent most of last night sprinting round the flat like a greyhound.
Darling, who were you entertaining in electric hair?
Good morning, and how's my lovable bundle of cuddle this morning?
I'm fine.
Not you, Michael.
Bit fragile, Maggie, but it was worth it. What an evening. Just you and me and the neighbours banging on the wall.
And what a dinner. It was delicious. The best scrambled eggs and tinned prunes I've ever tasted.
Michael, you mean you had Maggie to dinner? In your flat? Alone? Eating out of the saucepan that I gave you for Christmas?
Well, what are you expecting to do with it? Fill it with flowers?
Well, now I'm a free man, Janet. It's only natural I should have dates.
Well, you stick to people of your own generation.
I really don't see that it's any business of yours now that you're the pin-up of Portland Place.
After all, Janet, you can't expect me to live like a Trappist monk.
No, and I don't expect you to join a Darby and Joan Club either.
How dare you? At least I don't chase after men you have to share with all the listeners to Housewives Choice.
Oh, Brian may be famous, but he thinks of me all the time.
I'm sure he does, especially when he reads the fat stock prices.
Well, Janet, I am surprised that you should be jealous of Maggie. Of course, we haven't discussed matrimony yet, but when we do, you'll be the first to know. After Maggie, of course.
Matrimony? Huh, but
you ask me, she's thinking of taking out adoption papers.
Janet, I consider that remark in the height of bad taste, or the depth. In either case, you've gone too far.
Well, it's a farewell gift, because I shall never speak to you again as long as I live.
Morning, Lou. Anyone seen Miss Tufnell? Dear, have you two had a concert on? The atmosphere in this room is positively reachy.
No, we're not speaking, that's why. Mavis, would it be so good as to ask Mr. Lightfoot if he wants anything typed? Because I'm going to the ladies' restroom.
Oh, that'll help. Mr. Lightfoot, Janet wants to know if you want anything typed in the ladies' restroom.
Mavis, would you kindly tell Miss Harris that I wish her to take a memo about throwing a cocktail party next week to launch Petso Dog Soup?
Daddy Harris. Janet, Miss Lightfoot says, will you please throw a cocktail party next week to launch Petso Dog Soup in and kindly take a memo?
Tell Miss Lightfoot that if I throw anything, it'll probably be the typewriter.
She says she can't next week because she's throwing a typewriter.
Will you tell Miss Harris that if she does, I'll throw one right back?
I heard that.
Here. Now listen. If you two think I'm going to stand here in the middle of the room having typewriters whistling past my head, you're quite wrong. I've just had my hair done.
Michael, what on earth have you been doing to Maggie? First thing this morning, she was dancing around like a two-year-old, and now she's having hysterics in the ladies' restroom.
Oh, it's not my fault, Adrian. It's Janet.
It's not my fault, Adrian. Michael's developed a mother complex.
I knew there'd be trouble, using Maggie as a pawn in your sordid private life.
There's nothing sordid about pawns. They're my grand weakness.
Baby, I said pawn, not pawn.
Aha! So the dinner last night was a put-up job. Trying to make me look small in a big way. How despicable. Well, forget me. If Brian rings up, you can tell him I'm in from James Park, tearing the daylight out of the dark.
Oh, the poor soul, she's all of a hot flush. I could tell by her ears. You know, she's quite juiced round the nose.
She'll soon cool down. It's pouring with rain outside.
Look, Michael, it's got to stop.
Adrian, I can't take any more of this. I'm through with women finally and forever. And to prove it, I'm going to have a quiet cup of tea with Mrs. Allardyce in the canteen.
Well, you won't find it very quiet in there. Today she scours out her urn.
Now, Mavis, we must think of a way to bring Michael and Janet together. I've got it.
Oh, good.
Now, Mavis, you know this cocktail party we're giving next week to launch the new Pepto product?
No, are we?
Yes. It's a big publicity do with the press and TV cameras and the full field. Now, supposing we invite this BBC bloke and trick him into endorsing it.
Why?
Well, he's terribly anti anything commercial, so he'll be furious and blame Janet. Are you with me? If Janet invited him, Mavis, do you think you could sound like Janet on the phone?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Beard. I mean, we're quite different colouring. And... but actually, we do take the same size in shoes.
Well, now try. Pretend you're Janet and say, Brian, darling, we're having a little party next week, and I'd love you to be present. Well, go on.
Oh, I say, it's a bit larky, isn't it? Brian, darling, we're having a little party next week, and I'd love you to bring a present.
Well. Oh, Mavis, that's marvellous. Hand me the phone. Switchboard, get me Broadcasting House. Of course they're on the phone.
Yes, Mr. Giddy, Jr.?
On behalf of the directors, I would like to congratulate you on the way you've organized this reception. Yes. Splendid publicity. Press are well represented. Plenty of celebrities, too.
Yes, sir. All dog lovers.
I say, isn't that Dr. Edith over there? I wonder what sort of dog she's got.
I bet it's not a boxer.
Didn't know there were going to be dogs here as well. That black poodle over there could do with a clip.
Where? That's my secretary, Miss Harris.
Mavis, there's no sign of Brown's secretary yet.
Well, he said he was coming on the phone. Mind you, I was listening with a disguised voice.
It's all right. He's just arrived.
Ah, Mr. Saxon, it's nice of you to come.
Thank you. I'm a guest of Miss Janice Harris, and I thought this was going to be...
Oh, hello, Mr. Saxon. Here's your dog suit.
Dog suit? Well, what sort of party is this?
Over here, boys.
Face the camera and hold up the dog suit. Go away. Go away. Stop it. Shoo, Bullock. You can't photograph me with dog soup. I'm BBC.
Brian, darling, what a lovely surprise.
Oh, Janet, how dare you use my name for one of your advertising schemes. I'll never be able to show my face in Broadcasting House again.
Oh, and I just don't understand.
Don't try and explain, really. There's a name for a woman like you.
My fault?
That's not it. I suppose I've only myself to blame. I'm used to a nice type of woman like Jean Metcalf. I was always told that you advertising girls were...
Yeah. You watch it. Watch it or you're liable to get a bent area.
Janet, before I leave, I demand an apology.
But I haven't done anything to be sorry for. Please, not this afternoon.
But Janet...
Take your hands off her shoulder.
Don't you push me.
Cheeky.
Come on, Michael. Hit him with your right. No, your fist, not your foot. Michael, keep still. Mavis, give me another patch.
Oh, my face. Oh, what a fight.
Darling, you're a wounded hero. That's what you are.
Oh, what's this lump under my left ear?
Your nose. Mavis, got another patch?
Right here.
Oh, my eye.
Darling, I'll keep it better.
Mm. I got hit on the lips as well.
Later.
Mavis, let's have another patch.
Well, here you are, and that's the last of my puncture outfit.
I feel like something from Picasso.
You're too late. The cafe's closed.
Did I do much damage to Brian?
Well, when last seen, he was in a terrible state. Two black eyes and one of his teeth missing.
Oh, did I do that?
No. When he was chasing you, he fell down the stairs. Poor boy. Really, Michael, you ought to be ashamed. You completely ruined the reception.
Now, he left Michael alone. He was fighting for my honor.
I know. It's the first time he's ever fought somebody else for it. What about the campaign? We shall be the laughing stock of the entire firm.
They told me you were still in the office.
No,
you don't have to pretend to me. What a brilliant idea. Wonderful publicity. Look at the evening papers. We've made all the headlines.
CBC disc jockey plays fast and loose and loses tooth.
Will the case come before the jukebox jury? Well, this is great publicity.
Oh, it should be absolutely delighted, I think, don't you?
I want this on the radio as well. So how does it work, this transistor? I must listen.
For the last 6 hours, the United States Senate has been incessant discussing the price-fixing monopoly. Several senators made scintillating speeches to the Assembly. Early this evening, a certain BBC celebrity was involved in a bout of fisticuffs. And one of his teeth is reported missing. Anyone finding this tooth is asked to...
That's another hint. Michael, darling, you know, you look so romantic with black eyes.
Oh, do I? I'm glad you liked it. Why don't we both have dinner together in your flat, huh?
Dreamy. I've got a lovely bit of steak in the fridge.
Oh, marvellous, darling. I'm starving.
It's not for dinner, darling. It's for your eyes. We'll be eating curried baked beans and Welsh rabbit.
No fault of your own. You've just heard something to shout about. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Brian Sackville and several other unlikely characters were played by Warren Mitchell. The script was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who need all the dog soup they can get as they are now in the doghouse. And the show is produced by Eric Miller. On behalf of all BBC announcers, I wish to state that Brian Sackville bears no resemblance to anyone working at Broadcasting House, living or dead.